Good evening, this is KGVM 95.9 FM from Bozeman, Montana. This is the Men's Network Radio, a resource for men on the path to self-discovery and self-awareness. I am your host, James Kozlik, and tonight's guest is Tim Dolan. This is actually part two of Nonviolent Communication. Hopefully you were able to get part one last week. If not, you can go to the archives at kgvm.org, and you can stream us every Thursday night. It's between 7 to 8 p.m. If you go to the archive, you can pick up the first part of the show. But let's get started with the second part. Very interesting as we get into different forms of using NVC as a tool to communicate with others in your world. Thanks for joining us. Have a good evening. How do we confuse empathy then with intellectual analysis?
Well,
that's a loaded question, isn't it?
Well, you know, the Jackal way is analyzes things, you know, and if we're wanting to give empathy to somebody else, boy, you wouldn't want to mix in. You'd want to be sure empathy or any of this nonviolent communication, really, it begins within our own being. It begins nonverbally. It really is I would use the word spiritual, but it's a spiritual focus that we have, that really everything we do is a choice. You know, talk about being self-responsible. So there is a danger when you learn this that you would think, oh, and you could have thought that you didn't do this yesterday on your trip, and in reference to your wife. But you could have thought, oh, I've learned this nonviolent communication, and I forgot about her. I should call her, or I should do this. Like, you feel like it was an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the time to really, give, we call it empathy from hell, mm-hmm. where you're not really connected to the heart, but maybe you're doing the process, or you're just trying to do it because you think you have to, or something like that. So that would be a warning sign, then to pause and really go a little bit deeper and really check, so that you only do what you enjoy doing. And so we have that of ourselves, as a something that I value, that these actions that I take, whether it's nonviolent communication or no matter what it is, that I choose to do it. I'm not going to blame somebody else because I have to do it, and I want to receive that same from the other person. So when I make a request to the other person, I really want them to respond to my request only if they can do it out of that space of what I call natural giving, to where they enjoy the giving. And if I have a sense that they're responding out of obligation or because they want to keep me happy, or some way they feel that they're coerced, or they've been feel guilty and they're going to act out of that energy, I'd rather them not do what I request. So, very important.
Boy, yeah. I definitely learned something out of that. I got schooled. Because originally when I left, Marion knew I was going to do that. She knew my need was to connect with nature, and that would give me some joy and get out of the house and some space. And so she knew that. And on my way there, I did the should. I should have done this. I should have invited her. I should have. And so you really hit it there when you were talking about the should. And so I was doing this, the whole NBC, it was, what did you call it, out of hell?
Empathy from hell.
Empathy from hell. So that's great. Wow.
Yeah. So this is the under the hat work. So this is where, because we, you know, I love this kind of thing because you have your own laboratory. You are your own place to practice this to begin with. You have that initial pang that you forgot about her. And so your first thing is not to pick up the phone. The first thing is to say, okay, what am I feeling? And you want to locate that feeling. Sometimes it helps to locate it in your body where you become aware of, you know, what it is. And I don't know if you felt that, maybe you could do it now. Can you think, where did that first arise in your body when that shock, sounds like it was kind of a bit of a shock there, just,
yeah, it was kind of between my gut and my heart. It was like a shortened breath all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah,
anxious,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden the anxiety kicked in. Oh, boy, what did I do? I ruined my relationship for the rest of the night, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that's great. See, so that you just tune into that without, you don't have to edit it. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just say, okay, I'm noticing something here in my chest I'm feeling some anxiety, fear, worry I've ruined relationships. Then you want to, so that's a judgment, that's a moralistic judgment that, you know, you've turned toward yourself. So those moralistic judgments, they're actually poor expressions of unmet needs. So just take a moment to turn it around and open that up and find out what's the need behind that judgment. See? So that's how you turn that from being a life alienating thought or expression, and that's how you transform that, this is alchemy, into something that is life serving. So feeling the anxiety because I've ruined, you know, our evening, you know.
Which is in the future. So I wasn't staying present.
No, you weren't in the present. You were in the future. But nevertheless, it points to a need. And so what might that need be?
Well, that need is that, I want to say it's wrapped around, it was my choice to do what I love to do.
Yeah, well, that's what motivated you to go out.
Okay,
on
that motivated
trip.
Me. All right, so now this is where I love these lists. And I just happen to have some lists here. And
that's a great way to learn. You're modeling it, and that's the way I did in the beginning. I just kept some lists of feelings and needs handy. So go on.
Okay. So because I like it. What I like about these lists, even when Marion and I will check in or whatever with each other, I love having these lists to go through because I'll go down through it and let's see. So, feelings and emotions.
Well, you identified your feeling. Sort of anxiety, some worry there.
I need basic needs.
And now, when I'm giving, see, right now I'm sort of teaching and all, but
This is good.
But I'm also, if I'm giving somebody empathy, like right now I'm giving you empathy, helping you connect your feelings to your needs. I don't really turn it back on you and say, what were you needing necessarily. A lot of times I will guess. I'll just sort of guess, and then let you correct me, you know. And so I say, well, you're worried because you want to protect the time that you have with your wife, and you want to be sure that that you stay connected to her.
Yep, that's definitely, that was a need. That was my need to call her. My need for the outing, you know, was definitely to have some enjoyment, personal enjoyment.
Mm. Yeah, and that's, you know, very important.
Without feeling selfish. I never felt selfish about it.
Yep. Yep. You've got an inner, the inner jackal comes in and wants to blame you and say, you know, you shouldn't have done this and that sort of thing. It's trying to educate you, so you have to turn that around, that language of blame around, to what need of yours was being fulfilled. And in this case, you're wanting to connect with nature. And so you need to, that's first of all, is just to take a breath and acknowledge the good reasons why you did what you did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Just acknowledge the good reasons you did what you did. That's first of all. Bring yourself to life. That gets you out of the guilt and shame, which is, those are life alienating. That's, you know, we're heading toward deadness. And that brings you back to life to connect with the need that you were fulfilling, what you were going for. And then you have this other need to connect with her, that was not being met in that moment. So two beautiful gifts right there. As soon as you got out into nature, already you're beginning to connect to life, and nature is life. So already it's giving you gifts. You're connected more with yourself, and then you connect more with her too. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. You know, because there's so much beauty in everything when I connect with nature. You know, that's what I'm observing, is all the beauty. I'm observing the patterns of nature, you know, maybe how a hawk is pursuing a mouse, you know, or an eagle, a fish in the river, or whatever, you know. And I can take those kind of observations and bring them back to connecting with people.
That's right.
And so it is it's a beautiful way to go. To you know, I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about, and this is kind of being a little intellectual about, but in our whatever we did here, our interaction, I realized past traits or how this could have brought up anxiety and stress in my work world before I was retired. Now I'm a lot more comfortable in it, and how, you know, you get this thing of serving others, for instance, in the work we do and whatever it is. And when we don't do anything or make it about ourselves, there's this guilt thing. If I do this for myself, I'm going to have some guilt. I should be serving others. And then that's the obligation that has crept into, you know, back in my subconscious mind. And so those are the things that are still hanging out in that subconscious thought.
Uh-huh.
And so now I could see how some of that was something that also caused some anxiety, and I better get on the phone with Marion and make sure this is okay. So
yeah,
now
that's
it
right.
Sounds like I'm heading towards trying to give myself some self-empathy here.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we get into self-empathy?
Well, that's where it all begins.
Okay.
Really, because you can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
If your tank is empty, then you're not going to be able to give empathy. So with nonviolent communication, I mean, I always have a choice whether to use it or not to use it. Sometimes I just keep my mouth shut. But in any case, I want to be sure that I really have it to give. And so it begins with self-empathy. And so the process, whether we're giving empathy to somebody else or giving it to ourselves, it really is all the same. And we're loaded with our own self-judgments and things from childhood or things that society has imposed on us and all of this. So we've got plenty of self-judgments, whether it's just getting out to the car and forgetting the keys and saying, "Ah, oh, so stupid. We blame ourselves really quick." And that blame and that energy, those judgments, they do register in our bodies somewhere. So MVC is really about becoming more and more tuned in to that, to our inner climate, and also tuned in to other people. And you'll notice, you begin to notice what you're feeling in your body and also the feelings, emotions that we're having. And then we know to trace those back. First of all, it's so liberating when we can trace them back to our own needs, as opposed to saying, you could have been on the trail and be feeling guilty about it. And sometimes we'll turn that around and be angry at the other person, or they're making us feel guilty, or something like that. So the first thing is to check in with ourselves, feel what we're feeling, and then wonder about that, to pause, breathe into it, and ask, what am I needing right now that I'm not getting? Just ask that question. Just pause and check in. So it begins right there to find out, identify, because once you identify the need, and needs are universal, something that all human beings have in common. So no matter who it is, it could be somebody on the other political party, be another nationality or another race, it could be anybody, another gender, but we all have this in common, these needs, and there really isn't that many of them. The need for security, or the need for safety, the need for love, the need for understanding, the need to be seen, need to be heard, to know that our needs matter. So we have these needs that we share with other people all over the world. And so just when we connect with that, that is connecting to life. When we identify and we sense our own feelings and the needs that are causing those feelings, we are connecting to life. There's something about that that's sacred. And then we have a chance then to be clear about, okay, what would I like differently? What would I like? What would make my life more wonderful right now? So that's the fourth part. That's our request, a clear request, a doable request. Like, you're sitting at the table and somebody says, "Well, you're not listening to me." They say, "Well, yeah, I'm listening to you." You say, "Well, you're reading the paper." "Well, I can read the paper and listen to you." We go around and around and around. But, we have that need for, universal need for understanding. And so if we identify what we're needing, we can make a clear request. So a clear request at the table, and the man's reading the paper, would you be willing to put the paper down and make eye contact with me while we talk? Now there's a clear request. And now a man, he can say no, or he can say yes. A clear request is very important. Sometimes we're so vague. I want you to listen to me. Okay, so that person has a need to be heard. And what would they like, what concrete action would they like so that they might meet that need to be heard? So it might be like, you know, I really have a need to be heard right now. Would you be willing to just say back what I just told you? Then they can do that. So very important. So once you identify and so you have this inner climate, this inner way of being, this inner environment that you begin to create where you yourself are connecting to your feelings and needs, to what you value in life, and then what do you want back? Maybe you might have a request of yourself, or you might have a request of somebody else. And so that's, you want to have that, and that's what brings you to life. Then when you're interacting with other people or world events, different things, then you're able to tune in with a strong base, strong connection to yourself. Then you can, in a sense, you can make room for the other person and to say, okay, all right, so they're giving me a message. It doesn't have to be about me. It can be about them. Let me just understand what they're observing, what they're feeling and needing, and really what they would like. What request do they have? So I'm tuned into that. And then that's complete. So then you have empathy for yourself, empathy for others. You're willing to honestly communicate what's going on for you, to reveal to your vulnerability as to what you're needing, you're feeling and needing. And actually that creates a connection with other people. So many times when we are willing to be vulnerable and to open up and to be honest, and not just honest, but it's really a type of transparency. I found that other people respond to that. So,
well, it's so true, and it's so easy on the other side of it, okay, to make a request of somebody in an offhanded way and then not even follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're not listening to me. You're playing your game there on the computer. Go ahead, keep playing your game. And all of a sudden, you take your power away, you know, or whatever, and you don't feel any, like, what you have to say isn't important. There's no self-worth, you know. You let the other person get away with it because you didn't even make a request. You didn't think it was worth making a request.
Yeah, that's right. Or we're so vague.
So vague, so we're missing that one step, you know, to get people engaged with ourselves, with, you know, if that's, you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yep. Be in touch with ourselves, with what we're needing, and what we would want back from other people. I mean, this is helpful in groups, too, where you can be in a group and you know, you got to watch the energy of the group. Can be either enlivened or it can be dragged down, where somebody maybe starts talking and you're not sure why they're bringing this up, why they're talking about what they're talking, or what do they want back from the group. A lot of that gets muddy. And it can diffuse and derail the energy of the group.
That's so true. So it is important to make that clear request, whether you're in a group or with an individual or at work or whatever. And so I like how you maybe let's review that. How do you make a clear request again? You used the example of newspaper. Can you put that newspaper down and listen to me?
Yeah, right. That's an example.
Or did you hear what I said? Or
well, yeah. So in that case, would you be willing to put the newspaper down and make eye contact with me while we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we might express what we're feeling and needing in a situation, and before we go for the solution of it all, we might just see. I'm noticing, you know, you're reading the paper while we're talking, and I'm feeling some apprehension here because I'm really wanting to know that I've got a connection with you, and I'm not feeling that right now. And would you be willing to just tell me what you heard me say just now? And how you feel about what I just said. So you might start with a connecting request. Just to begin to hear back from the other person. Because this is a dialogue, this is a dance, NBC. And we're not making big speeches to people. For instance, these interactions, if I'm approaching the person that's reading a newspaper while we're talking, or anybody else, I'm usually going to make a pretty quick, I mean, it's going to be 40 words or less that I'm going to blurt this out to them. And very quickly, I'm going to go to a request. So it's going to be very quickly, just like I did there. I noticed you reading the newspaper and feeling some apprehension because I'm wanting to connect with you before we go off to work today. How do you feel when you hear me say that? It's very quick. It bounces back. So then I'm listening for the other person, and I'm equally interested in what their needs are.
Hmm.
And it could be they say, no, I'm not willing to put the newspaper down because I've got to check the stocks and
yeah.
It's critical or we're going to lose all our savings.
Yeah, what savings?
Can we talk this afternoon when I come home for lunch?
Yeah, you're the big hot shot from Wall Street all of a sudden, right? You know? So, all right. Well, that's really good. I like what you said there. All right, can you please put the newspaper down? How does that feel when I say that to you?
Yeah.
That's like you're checking in to see if it's a doable request?
Well, the thing is that you're opening up and saying what's going on for you rather than sit over there and stew about it or, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
You're really opening it up, and the whole point is you really want to have that connection with people, so oftentimes requests are perceived as demands, and so that's a tricky area. Even if we're careful how we say it, but a lot of times we're not careful how we say it. You know, I say, "Shut the door," you know, you know, we just give orders, and
right.
people hear it as an order. And if they do comply, you're going to pay for it later. So a lot of times we're just checking in, sometimes people are sensitive about, so oftentimes people express feelings because they're wanting to induce guilt in the other person. They think that's how best to get somebody to do something. So they'll say, you make me so angry. So we don't take responsibility for our feelings and we project it on the other person. And there's no request, there's no need. So I guess then it's just they fill in the blank. So they're supposed to just feel, they're just supposed to feel guilty or something. Go eat worms. A lot of times we're expressing ourselves and this may be a new thing for us and it was for me. You're saying how you're feeling and you need this connection and, you know, you see they're reading the paper and you're really wanting to know that they're present with you. And, so the first thing is just, to see how that came across to them. Did they hear that, what I just said? Did they take it as a demand? They might have heard it as a demand to say, Okay, so now you're going to boss me around. I'm not supposed to read the paper. Okay, well, thank you for telling me what you thought I said. I'd like you to hear it differently. And then you try again. See? A lot of times you're checking in with the person to see how they're receiving it.
That's important.
Mm-hmm. And then it might be that they may need some empathy before they can even hear what your request is. A lot of times people are walking around with a real deficit in empathy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you may be wanting something, you know, something hasn't met your needs, and you're wanting to approach somebody, and next thing you know, it triggers them because they've been walking around with something, and then you realize that they've got to have empathy before they can even hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Very important.
It's very important. I could half imagine with this coronavirus, you know, people being shut in, and all of a sudden you're there all day long for 4 weeks or whatever, 3 weeks, wherever you're at in the country. But what an opportunity to hone some skills and navigate with your partner or your kids or whatever to change the narrative. I mean, a simple thing like, will you shut the door? You know,
mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden it's the demand, and the reaction might be, oh, screw that. I'm not going to shut the door. She can do it. Or he can do it. And nothing gets done, and there's a lot of animosity in the air.
Yeah, boy, I think people would really benefit by some form of compassionate communication right now, being closed up, where you don't have the luxury of really getting away from one another quite so easily.
Yeah. So I got a question for you. You still got a little bit of time, because we definitely running overtime here.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are we doing these days other than putting masks and latex gloves on?
Yeah, I know.
So, let me ask you this. You know, I mean, men, and I don't want to be so specific just with men, but, you know, hopefully there's some gals that are listening into this radio show also. But it seems like men in particular, we're not necessarily wired to explore emotions and feelings as much as women are.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you actually explain, or in the past, how have you been able to explain or bring NBC to men in a way that they can connect with the concept?
Yeah. Well, as human beings, we are, we have a physical body, and we have what I might call an emotional body, astral body, and a spirit. So, you know, we have these things, and whether we're man or woman, I do identify feelings more with the feminine, sure. But I look at it like we are a mixture of masculine and feminine anyway. It's rare the person that's just 100% masculine. That would be, you know, pretty hard. Or 100% feminine. So I think it's most likely it's, you know, 80%, 20%. So might be 80% masculine and 20% feminine energy in me, and a woman might vice versa. So it's not either or, but just being a human being, we are feeling something at all times. And I think it's important what Rollo May said, that the mature person becomes able to differentiate feelings into as many nuances, strong and passionate experiences, or delicate and sensitive ones, as in the different passages of music in a symphony. So rather than being, as he would describe it, limited like notes in a bugle call. So... I found it very important. Like I gave the example from the very beginning with Peter when I was practicing, and I came away very confused. And I had, in those early days, I had a lot of confusion in my interactions with people. There was a lot of unclarity. And the way that I gained more clarity was by tuning in to what my feelings were. And so that actually gave me some traction. And then that helped connect me to what I really value in life. What's at my core? How do I connect with my core? And as a man among men, if I'm not connected to my core, I'm not identifying what my mission in life is, even if it's just momentary intention, then I'm not sure that I'm going to get my needs met in the world. And I'm not sure that I'm going to be effective in the world. Because I think one of the gifts that men have to give is that, you know, we get things done. You know, we got all these archetypes, the king, the warrior. You know, we get things done. And or the magician, we understand the energies that are at play in the world. So I think it's vital that we identify and clarify this inner world, and that gives us some traction, because if you want to make a difference in people's lives, you want to make a difference in the world, you want to contribute something, you want to give your gift, and that's something that every man has to decide for himself. What are your intention? What is your intention in this life? And if it is, hopefully, if it is to contribute to life, to contribute to your own and others' well-being, then I think it's very important to understand the nuances of feelings that we have. And this doesn't have to be a moping around and a dwelling and a wallowing in feelings. This is actually clearing up some of the fog and some of the confusion and becoming more aware and more alert, more present. I think it's vital to identify what really is going on for us and connect to our core values, and then think what we can do or what others can do that would make life more wonderful. And so I think that's the way I would look at it. And that's what I experienced in my weekend, the New Order Warrior Training Adventure, where it was important to connect with feelings. But we don't pause there. We don't stop there. But to connect it to our needs, and then what we would like in the world, and how we would like, and what do we want of ourselves in giving our gift, and what is our mission? These are all things that I think are very important for men, and that helped me so much, and I felt so much love and connection to that group of men. I don't know if there was, how many were there, 80 or 100, I'm not sure, but I felt connected to those men, and I could express my feelings, and that would be respected and held, and I could do the same for them, and I found a strong bond arise there, mutual respect, and so I've become actually stronger by connecting with feelings than by being confused and muddled. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, that's very helpful. In fact, there's a couple things I want to cover on what you just said, but that's very helpful, because one of these future shows I'm going to have an actual live men's group, if I can get three or four guys together to go in. And so our listeners can actually see what it's like to be in a men's group. It's not just some closed club, secret club, you know. There are certain criteria that, you know, we're sworn to keep private. But if we can have a public group, it would be really good, because I think, you know, we as men have a lot to offer. I love what you said about being unlimited. The example you gave, not only for men but for women, is our intention and what we have to give to life is so beautiful. Because just to keep it simple, you know, I mean, it's so easy to see a woman out there doing construction and, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden you want to label, oh, there's a feminist, you know.
Uh-huh.
And yet that woman is out there being who she is.
Uh-huh.
There, all of a sudden, you know, there's an artist or a guy has this creativity, this art creativity, and all of a sudden he decides to go from oil paints to quilting. Oh, that's a sissy. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I like how you, by getting in touch with our needs, feelings, emotions, and actually who we really are, our true self, our honest self, and being able to take off all these different masks and labels, and we have this unlimited potential to serve humanity in so many different ways. If we can get beyond everything that all the blocks we've put on ourselves, you know, not to get to that potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really beautiful. I loved the way you covered all of that. That was it was beautiful. I hope everybody heard it out there and can feel it take time to process it.
Yeah. And here's a short poem, about five little stanzas here, if we have time.
Yeah.
By Ruth Bevermeyer. Words are windows. I feel it's actually a song. There's music too. I feel so sentenced by your words. I feel so judged and sent away. Before I go, I'd like to know, is that what you meant to say? Before I rise to my defense, before I speak in hurt or fear, before I build that wall of words, tell me, did I really hear? Words are windows or they're walls. They sentence us or set us free. I speak, and when I hear, let the love light shine through me. There are things I need to say, things that mean so much to me. If my words don't make me clear, will you help me to be free? If I seem to put you down, if you felt I didn't care, try to listen through my words to the feelings that we share.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's so I just wanted to recite that just to give a feeling for this. It's not an intellectual thing. Once you learn it, internalize it, really, it's a spiritual atmosphere. And those words kind of give a feeling for it. And so in the beginning, you know, it was a little awkward, and I've had a partner would say, well, Tim, it just like sounds like you're just reading from a book, you know, you're trying, you know, doing this. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm trying to find a way, a different way of connecting than my old reactions. And I know it's a little awkward in the beginning, but I'm really wanting to connect from the heart. And if you'd be willing. So it can be done. It can become natural. It can become so that you can do this and not draw attention to the words or yourself. It can even be done silently. It can be done just in a look or a touch. Connecting from the heart.
Well, Tim, I'm going to wind down a little bit here. I want to actually, when this is all over, I'm probably going to fill in some time. It's a two-part show. And I know that Marshall Rosenberg, he had his guitar handy several times. I'm going to see if I can play some music from him. But, Tim, I'm so honored and I'm so glad that we kind of reconnected.
Me too, Jim.
Yeah, this has been beautiful. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the Men's Network Radio. And hopefully maybe we can reconnect again. I'm not building houses anymore, so there won't be any painting jobs.
yeah, that'd be excellent. Be glad to connect again and come at it from another angle.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, well, thank you very much. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, FM in Bozeman, Montana. And Tim, again, thank you, and we'll see you on the rebound.
You're welcome, Jim. Bye for now.
Bye.